is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti. Close to the 50th anniversary of the so-called 1973 Yom Kippur surprise war in the Middle East, there is another major outbreak of Mideast fighting right now.
Palestinian militants in the Gaza Strip have launched dozens of rockets towards Israel, setting off air raid sirens across the country. There have been reports of explosions near Tel Aviv and the areas surrounding southern Gaza. One person is reported to have died. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said he's meeting with top security officials.
That is the BBC's Gareth Barlow. And since he filed that report, there have been ground infiltrations into Israel, and Israel has started striking targets in Gaza in response, setting the stage for what's likely to be a new heavy round of fighting between Israel and Hamas, maybe another Islamist group as well. Palestinian Islamic Jihad says its fighters have joined Hamas. In this country, as the Biden administration reverses some border policies to deal with a still growing crisis, other parts of the country are now feeling the pressure. CBS's Charlie DeMar.
In Eagle Pass, Texas, as migrants continue to cross the southern border, New York City Mayor Adams arrived in Ecuador as part of his three-country tour south of the border to discourage migrants from making the trek north.
We are not going to be able to sustain this situation for migrants and asylum seekers and for long-term New Yorkers who are also dealing with real issues.
There's been a moderate earthquake in southern Mexico tonight. With the arrival of the weekend, one of the major national strikes is coming to an end, while others do continue, the one ending the healthcare workers who went out for 3 days. Details from CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
More than 75,000 healthcare workers entered the final day of their strike against Kaiser Permanente without a deal. Nurses, technicians, and others walked off the job for 3 days to protest staff shortages and demand higher pay.
I think that we have made a very big impact, and we'll come out here again if we have to.
Meantime, film and TV actors remain out, as do some members of the United Auto Workers. This is the government issues a somewhat surprising September employment report, which could also have a downside.
The Labor Department reported a stronger than expected gain of 336,000 jobs in September, while the unemployment rate remains steady at 3.8%. That ongoing strength in the labor market is great news for people looking for work. But as far as the Federal Reserve is concerned, a tight labor market could mean more pressure on inflation. And that's raising the odds of another rate hike from the Fed before the end of the year.
That's CBS Business reporter Jason Brooks, and this is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
most of us, you will probably have your water between days 1 through 3. If you live northwest of the Fox River, you will probably you'll have it within days 3 to 5. Now, if you're that small percentage of people that if you live on a dead end, a cul-de-sac, or a court, it could take 3 to 4 weeks before you get the water because the utility will have to open up the fire hydrants to pull the water up to the end of the street. So stay tuned. Any day now or any moment, you'll be drinking clean, sustainable water out of your taps and really can't wait for that. So, and going back to our suffragette city and the suffragette heritage, in the last presidential election, 66%, three quarters of eligible voters nationally participated again in that last presidential election in 2020. That was a record high. But really, what about the remaining 34%?
That's a good question.
And that's what Vicky's here to address.
Kristen.
We
were talking
about
someone.
We're getting a friend. Yeah, sorry about that. Kristen, yes. So
Vicky's my aunt. She's not here.
That's right, yeah. Aunt Vicky. So, well, hello, Kristen. Sorry about that. I wanted to see if you were awake. So.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's, 66% nationwide is a number, but you really need to look, at each individual state. And Wisconsin, I'm glad to say, has actually a higher voting rate than that. We do pretty well here. I think it was 72% the last election. Don't quote me on that necessarily, sure. But it was definitely higher than the national average. And in Waukesha County has very high voting rates, like 85% or something like that.
Okay.
And so does Dane County. Milwaukee is lagging, sure. But they're working on it. So in general, Wisconsin has a proud heritage of being a voting state, which is great. And maybe it started with Theodora. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. That is good to know. And so tell us about the work you're doing with getting people to vote.
So the Fair Elections Center is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization based in Washington, D.C., but we have staff all around the country, including me here in Wisconsin. And it's essentially two halves of the organization. The Fair Elections Center has a whole team of voting lawyers who do litigation only related to voting. And right now we do have a case in Wisconsin where we're trying to get them to clarify when you use an absentee ballot, you have to have a witness signature and yet that witness needs to put their address on the envelope. There is some confusion about what constitutes an address. We don't think there should be because it says right in the statute, it's a street address in the municipality.
Sure.
But some people are saying it's got to include, the street number, the street name, the municipality name, and the zip code. And if it doesn't have all of those things, the ballot should be thrown out. That's extreme.
Right.
Right? Because if I say I live at 123 Main Street, Waukesha. Right. Is that not enough information to verify who I am? Of course it is.
Yeah.
So there is a case going on about that. And then we have other cases throughout the country about the disenfranchisement of people who have previously had felony convictions. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Citizenship tests. They're talking about something in Wisconsin here that might say, that when you vote, the city clerk is required to check your citizenship by comparing your information to that of the Department of Transportation, which of course makes no sense because you don't have to be you don't have to have a driver's license to be a citizen in this country or vice versa. So there's a lot of things out there that need to be clarified by those attorneys.
Sure.
So that's one side. And then the other side is the primary work I do, which is through the Campus Vote Project, which is an organization that works with college campuses of all kinds.
Right.
Completely nonpartisan. We never talk about the candidates.
Good.
Other than informationally. But we do make sure that students know how to vote. They know how to register to vote.
Sure.
And that any barriers there are to them actually registering and voting are broken down.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's great.
So now, when we spoke about this before, Waukesha has an excellent election process.
Yes.
Thanks to our city clerk, Gina.
She's fantastic.
And did a great job as acting city administrator.
Good.
And, you know, when I'd go to vote here in Waukesha, and I voted in two different polling places, you know, because of the redistricting, now I get to go to City Hall. But they have my information on file. All I have to show them is my driver's license. And I know that there's been some issues about that. It used to be you could just show, you know, a lease or a utility bill or something. But don't they have that information already? The zip code, the municipality, the whole. I mean, they know what ward I'm in.
They know all of that. The question is, does the... They want to make sure that if you vote absentee,
okay. Oh, that you fill out all the information. Okay.
Right. That your witness is a real person and you didn't just make up a name, sign it on the line. So they need to be able to potentially, I suppose, they don't do this for every single person, but potentially they need to be able to prove that person is real.
Okay.
So the question is, if it asks for an address, what is an address?
Yeah.
And if somebody says, that's the question. It's kind of like one of those weird things, like define what the word is means.
So do witnesses have to take a test now? Is that what some are advocating? You know, like,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Have you ever taken one of those election tests that they used to give in the Deep South back in the Jim Crow days?
The ones about how many bubbles are in a bar of soap and that kind of nonsense?
I think it was worse than that. Like the average educated voter would barely pass that, if at all.
Well, one of the things we talk about all the time is that if you had to pass the same test to maintain your citizenship as new citizens do when they're, you'd never pass, half people wouldn't pass it.
Sure.
So yeah, that's a whole other thing. Civics education in this country is a major issue. And we've gotten too far away from it in the schools. Yep. I mean, you and I aren't exactly one foot in the grave. And I'm still, when I went to high school, we did quite a bit of work on how the government works and what civics, and I just don't think the students are getting that education anymore.
I remember my eighth grade social studies class with Dr. Dennis Igo. He'd just come back from sabbatical, just got his PhD. Was a speech writer for our Congressman Jack Kemp. And one of his assignments was you had to rewrite. You had to basically copy all the amendments of the Constitution, like word for word, just so you had a working knowledge of it. Yeah, get it in your head. And you had to submit it.
Yeah.
And he would review just to make sure no one was cutting corners. And you had a thorough understanding of that. But one thing I would learn later on, a couple years later, that I guess should have been ingrained in me earlier, is that part of the concept of we are all being equal is that one franchise, your right to vote. And that's what makes the most humble or the lowest level person of society
equal to
the president of the United States or the most wealthy CEO is this one franchise, this right to vote.
Well, and this is why there are so many.
It's a God-given right.
This is why there are so many law firms, including these public interest firms like Law Forward and the Fair Election Center and the Elias, there's a bunch of them. That's why there's so many firms dedicated to voting rights.
Okay.
Because it is the one thing that should be available to everyone who's a citizen.
Sure.
Now, do we take away your right to vote while you're in prison serving a felony? Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Not every state, but most of them do.
Sure.
But when you get out and you're back in society, you should be able to vote again because these are the people who are controlling your lives and you should have some say in who they are.
Sure.
Which is, by the way, one of the things that we're going to be talking about spring elections. The judgeships that are up in the spring are almost always uncontested. And that's a real shame.
We need to get more people involved.
We need more people involved and we need more people caring about who these judges are because that is the one person who can literally take your liberty away.
Yeah.
Is a judge who can control your life. You should care about who that person is.
Yep. Absolutely. So in the 2 minutes we have before the first break, one little bit of news item here. Congratulations to the Waukesha North-South Fusion, who swept Waukesha West in three sets last Wednesday night at Waukesha South High School. The worst they can achieve is a tie for the Classic 8 Conference Championship. If they win against Catholic Memorial next Wednesday, they will win the toughest conference in the state outright. The record is currently 23-5. 5-0 in the Classic 8. Again, the toughest conference in the state for volleyball. I love saying that. Undefeated in the Classic 8.
Woohoo.
Go North-South Fusion. And congratulations again to Joe Bansky. He was a guest on the show last July, and we really look forward to having him on again, hopefully with more great tidings to share. May have to fit the whole team here into the studio.
Oh, that'd be fun.
And congratulations to the Waukesha South Blackshirts football team that, in spite of last night's 37-13 loss, played their last game in the Classic 8 at Arrowhead. Yes, they do play Waukesha North at home next week, and it is a conference game. But North will be joining South in the Parkland Conference next year. So we encourage everyone to check that out. So
you worked hard on that.
I did. Thank
Good
you.
Good for you. Yes, that yeah. is a real success, a community leadership yeah. kind of thing.
Thank you. And thanks to Civic Media, too. Kristen Bry was involved as well in that effort. And when we come back from the break, too, Brittany Merlos, Civic Media's meteorologist, will be calling in to talk about this crazy weather we've been having and give us some forecast for the winter. So don't go away as This Week in Waukesha continues with my guest, Kristen Hansen. Give it up.
Seems it from the start.
Oh, this is Paul Gallagher.
We were stumbling in the dark.
Hey, welcome back. This Week in Waukesha with Don Brown and my host, Kristen Hansen. And you're listening to Cole Gallagher. What's the name of the song again, Anya?
This is Stumbling in the Dark.
Stumbling in the Dark. Cole
that
Gallagher.
That was me up this morning at 6 a.m.
Who has, yeah, you and me both. Cole Gallagher has strong Waukesha roots. Grandmother was from here and would love to come back here and play in Guitar Town USA. And has also expressed interest in being a call-in guest on one of my shows. So we hope to have Cole in on very soon. Really looking forward to it. Really excited about this young man's success. And do we have a caller, Anya? Is this Mary Jane? Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Mary Jane. Are you still in Europe?
Yes, well, first of all, Dobrý den, which is good morning in Czech.
In Czech,
did I
okay.
say that right? Yes.
Are you in Prague?
I'm in Prague. I'm in the
wow.
Czech Republic.
Very cool.
And we went to several churches early this morning.
Wow.
And had some very good food in the market square. But right now we are in the Jewish neighborhood.
Neat.
And Don, you are such a historian. And you know so much about, you know, how the Jewish
sure.
were persecuted and all the, mm-hmm. you know, both in Italy and in Prague
right.
and how they were bottled up in neighborhoods with
sure.
gates
sure.
and they couldn't go in or go out. So, but the area is beautiful. We're right now kind of in the heart of the brand area.
Okay.
You know, where all the quality Gucci's and things are.
Sure, sure.
But yes, I just wanted to, you know, call in, let you know that I was thinking about Waukesha.
Right.
You know, as you know, I love my Waukesha.
Sure.
So, well, but we, exploring the world is something definitely I've been wanting
sure,
to do for a while.
Sure.
And so I had a free moment to do that.
So Mary Jane, since you left,
things,
good, since you left, the weather like jumped to like 90 degrees last week. And
here as well, we,
and then
we
it
were in
dropped yesterday.
Shorts
now it's like,
weeks.
Now it's like 40 degrees. I know you're going by Celsius there, so I'll leave it to you to do the math, but is it cooler there now? Like it is here?
It, as of today. Yes.
Okay.
So it started in Italy, and we're now in Prague, so we're north. So I think it's 56 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's
here.
Awesome. Cool. And when are you coming
no,
home?
No, it's a little bit warmer.
Okay.
Not for another week and a half.
Another week and a half. Sounds great.
But I do – go ahead, walk up for a minute. I'll be right there. I did want to mention to you that the people that we're staying with, they definitely told me about all the the Ukrainians that are here in the Czech Republic,
sure,
and how they've really put laws down to help them and schooling,
good,
and everybody's helping them,
good,
and that it, how important it is,
sure,
that and they're so proud of the Americans for helping as well.
Thanks
because
for sharing
we
that.
We cannot. Yes, we have to really help those
sure,
people that are not able to always help themselves. So
love to hear that. Terrific.
Yes.
Sounds great.
But I did want to call in and just let you know.
Yeah, thanks for
I was
the update.
About you guys.
Appreciate that.
Sure.
So,
and I will share more when I get back to town.
That sounds great. Thanks so much for the call, Mary Jane. Enjoy the rest of your trip and safe travels and many blessings.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Bye for
Kristen,
now.
Bye, Don.
Bye.
See so, Mary Jane Sanchez, all the way from Prague. And
that's cool.
Of course, you know, she mentioned being in the Jewish neighborhood, and we'd be remiss if we didn't mention what was going on in Israel. And our hearts certainly go out to all the people there, especially the civilians.
Yeah,
and,
it's bad.
It really is. So keeping them, as well as the Ukrainians and anyone in these war-torn situations around the world, very much in our hearts.
On the way here, I heard a news report to try to put it into context that at the time there had been about 20 casualties, Israeli citizens who were killed. But in context of population, that would be like 1,000 Americans just in a matter of hours.
Sure,
so it's
sure,
bad.
Yeah, that really. Yeah. Wow. That's staggering. And so do we have Brittany on hold yet, Anya? Oh, great. Let's have Brittany call in here. Good morning, Brittany. Can you hear
hey,
me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
We sure can. Thanks so much for joining us. Say hello to Kristen Hansen of the Fair Election Center.
Hi, Brittany.
Hi, how are you?
good.
So, you know, crazy weather. You know, last week it was like, I was glad I was indoors on a Saturday broadcasting a game because it was sweltering hot. It was like, you know, like a really...
Isn't that wild?
It felt like, you know, like you were in the middle of Florida in June or July. And then yesterday morning I go out to walk my dog or to let my dog out and I'm in shorts and like, holy cow. And then, and so it's... Now, this weather's expected for, you know, this time of year, what we're going through now. But gosh, a week ago... And so, yeah, just wanted to, you know, your insights on where we're trending compared to other years and what our winter looks like.
Sure. You want to talk about this wild Wisconsin weather. That's what I've coined it.
Four
for
seasons
all over the
in
place.
A day.
I always, right? It's like, if you don't like the weather right now, just wait one day and it'll change.
Yeah, it sure will.
But my goodness. Seriously, so we were breaking records just last week. I mean, on the 3rd, we hit a high of 85 degrees, went down in history for that. I mean, the days before, we were hitting 84. Like you mentioned, it felt like the tropics. I was in the Dells in like a swim-out pool outside. It was just,
yeah,
it was the wildest thing. But
sure,
I mean,
sure,
we got lucky because we had two systems set up. So basically, we had a big dominating high pressure off on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then we had a low pressure hanging out in the Dakotas. And what that did is just surged in all the warmth from the south. All the winds aligned to really gust out of the south and warm us up those few days. And it's not uncommon, like you mentioned. We do get 80s on occasion in October, but it's on the rare side of things.
It sure
so
is.
Now, I just call this like, it's the tug of war of summer and winter. That's what
yep,
fall usually is.
Yes. Yep.
They battle it out. We're going to start to get those strong, gusty gales of November soon. It's the same mm-hmm, story of the cold air being stuck up north and the hot air south. But
yeah,
we're starting to see an El Nino pattern set up.
Sure.
So what that means is basically the sea temperatures off of the Pacific Ocean are warmer, and it stops the winds, which what it does for us is it changes our jet stream. Sure. It keeps the colder air further north.
So,
and then the warmer air further south.
We're about to cut to a break. Can you stick around after, because we want to hear what kind of winter we're having, if that's okay.
Yeah,
sounds
absolutely.
Great. Yeah, have some more coffee, and everyone stick around. More from Brittany Merlot and my guest Kristen Hansen here in This Week in Waukesha. Do not go away.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
CBS News Special Report. Violence heats up along the Gaza Strip. Thousands of rockets fired from Gaza have hit parts of Israel. BBC correspondent Rushi Abulyov is in Gaza City.
From my position in a rooftop, I can see rockets flying from east, from south, from north, from everywhere.
The violence has spilled deeper into Israel. The BBC's Yolanda Nell reports from Jerusalem.
Very shocking pictures that we're seeing from the south of Israel in towns like Sderot, where it seems that Palestinian militants have actually infiltrated into southern Israel with shootings happening.
Yonatan Yadadovsky is with the Israel Emergency Services.
Deploying all of our ambulances, mobile intensive care units, and bulletproof ambulances. Our blood services called the public to come and donate blood.
At least 22 people have been killed, hundreds
looking
injured.
For more local
CBS
programming?
Special
check
report.
Out our website,
I'm
civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Timeout!
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Eliza Hallenbrand. October is National Disability Employment Awareness Month, and this year's theme is Advancing Access and Equity. To celebrate this month, we have a very special guest, my co-host, Mr. Caden Kroot, who is also my son. Next, however, we will be speaking with the founder of Parent University in Milwaukee, Dolores Salas. Parent University offers monthly meetings to support parents that have children with disabilities. And I wish I had more time to go into it. I don't today, but I just want to give Dolores the biggest shout out for having over 500. She thinks maybe 2,500 at the end of the day. People get together to get vaccinated for COVID. She really thought outside the box and debunked a lot of the myths that went along with the vaccination and probably saved a lot of lives. So thank you, Dolores, for that. You originally came on as a support person for John, who we will be interviewing next. But after I learned a little bit more about your story, I thought, wow, you probably have a lot to say on this issue. So before we talk to John, I'd like to take just a minute and ask you, what brought you into the world of supporting people with disabilities?
Well, I had a son, Albert, who's now deceased. He had multiple disabilities, and I was his mother that made sure that he had a great life. Mm. I wanted the best for Albert, and he had it.
I'm so sorry for your loss, Dolores, and I am sure that you did a wonderful job. It sounds like you are really out there making a difference in everyone's lives. So this year's theme for the National Disability Employment Awareness Month is Advancing Access and Equity. What does this mean to you as a community leader, and what would you like to see done to advance access and equity in regards to employment?
Well, I dream of bringing the principles and the knowledge to children and families and build character by doing rather than saying. And if we live with our values instead of our past existing lives, we can move forward to have a first-class education, life, dignity, and a great job in the community.
Wonderful. I love that. And thank you so much for helping out with John tonight. I am going to turn over the microphone to Caden and let him run this interview with John LaFleur. Thank you, John, for being here tonight.
You're welcome.
Hi, John. Can you tell the listeners where you are working?
I am working at P.F. Chang's at Mayfield Mall.
Nice. How did you get that job?
Through my DVR counselor in high school.
Oh, that's cool. What do you do at your job?
I work with takeouts. I'm a server assistant, and I do takeout orders, and I'm working in the kitchen doing drama, prepping all the meats and all that.
Nice. What is your favorite thing about your job?
The people, the employment, the manager, just the vibe I give with the people I work with. And how understanding they are with my schedule.
That's really nice, John. And was there a time when you needed help at your job? And if so, what did you do about it?
It was this past weekend. We got the homecoming weekend. I got slammed with a lot of tickets. As the manager, they stepped in to help me, assist me with getting the tickets out. And they did assist me. And that's how I was able to get things done this past weekend.
Oh, okay. And why are you valuable or important to your employees at the job?
I've been there 18 years. I'm very reliable, dependable, and always on time. And sometimes, most of the time, I'm always early.
Very nice, John. And what would you tell employers who may be thinking about hiring a person with a disability?
Just to have patience and understanding that everybody have their different challenges and struggles.
Very nice, John.
That is wonderful, John. And where is the P.F. Chang's that you work at?
At Mayfair.
At Mayfair. Because there used to be one in Madison. It closed. And you know what? I miss it.
So I might have to make a drive to Mayfair and come and see you in person and say hi. Do you mind me asking how many hours a week you typically work?
Sometime like 15 to 20, depending on the week.
That is wonderful. Keep up the good work, John. I appreciate you being on the show tonight and sharing your story and letting everyone know why it is important to hire people with disabilities and what an excellent job you do. Always there, always on time, often early. Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
I'm going to switch gears a little bit and now talk to my son, Caden. So Caden is going to be 20 years old, but he has been employed since he was 14. Caden, can you let listeners know some of the places that you worked?
Hi, guys. My name is Caden. I am 19 years old and currently a sophomore in college. And the places that I have worked was... I worked at Jet's Pizza starting when I was 14 years of age, and I've worked at Red's Pizza when I was 15 years old, both of those pizza places, both when I was a freshman in high school. And in 2021, I started working at Marcus Theater at the age of 17 years old in high school. And then I've also gotten some jobs at Edgewood College. Starting my freshman year, I worked at Phil's, and what I did there was like, I just kind of washed dishes, did most of stuff.
Phil's one of the dining halls where students eat, right?
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I know people who currently work there too, but I worked there my freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also done Parks and Recs. I did that when I was like 15 years old. You would kind of work with little kids at like the preschool, or I also kind of taught tennis a little bit.
Yeah, you have been a hardworking man from the get-go. A couple of those jobs that you mentioned were internships. Can you tell listeners about what an internship is?
So an internship is when you have a job for 90 days and DVRs pays your wages. And then after the 90 days is over, they can decide if they want to hire you. Now, this happened when I worked at Jet's Pizza, starting when I was 14 on November 12, 2018. And it went all the way till January 30th, 2019. And they had to decide whether they wanted to hire me or not because I was new to working at the time.
Yep. So it was a great practice run for you just to get to build your resume. And I just wanted to share that because that's an opportunity that's out there through DVR. So if you're considering hiring somebody with disabilities, if you work with the right agencies, they do offer these internships where they actually will pay the employee's wages for 90 days. And hopefully after the 90 days, they prove themselves to be stellar employees and you take them on. Okay, now I want to ask, why is having a job important to you?
Having a job is important to me so I can make money and so that people can see me reliable and so I can have a lot of experience so I can do things in life.
Exactly. That's a good reason. That's probably why we all have jobs, right?
Right.
And what would you tell an employer that may be nervous about hiring a person with a disability?
So... first thing is, you shouldn't, judge a book by its cover, and you should, at least rely on them to give them a chance, whether they have their job coach or DVR or whatever, because people with disabilities also have lots of abilities. And if things get tricky, well, there's always job coaches or DVR. And honestly, things like it's not only going to be like that for people with disabilities, but any person that works at a job. Because me personally, the last few jobs that I've worked at, my managers have seen me very reliable and they always get excited when they see me come in. And this has been like a dream come true for me my entire career that I've been a teenage employee to this day.
Yeah. Well, especially working at Marcus. Marcus was a dream job I think you wanted to do ever since you were little. You take it seriously. I would say that you're mostly always there on time. And if you're not there on time, it's because I'm your transportation, right? I'm the one slowing you down. So we've had to do a few, sorry, my mom was whatever my mom was doing that that made me late. But you do such a good job there that actually now, don't they kind of have you training some of the new ushers?
They did. They really did. In my when I was in high school, they had me work late and in the summer, both summers as well. Shout out to Heather, who's a great manager, and same with Ryan. And my current job that I have now at security, shout out to Jack and Todd.
All right, go ahead. Give your shouts out. Well, Caden, I think all of those people are very lucky to have you. You're very reliable and hardworking, and I'm sure you get to your jobs on Edgewood campus on time when mom's not there to slow you down. So thank you for being on the show tonight. I just wanted to share that according to a March 3rd, 2022 article from Disability Scoop, the employment rate for Americans with disabilities has reached an all-time high, federal officials has said. That's awesome. However, among people with disabilities, still about 80% are unemployed or underemployed. Underemployed meaning that they're not getting number of hours that they would like, or they are working in a position that they're overqualified for.
Yeah.
According to Disability Scoop, a report was issued by the U.S. Department of Labor Bureau and Labor Statistics. This agency collects data on people with disabilities in the job market as part of its current population surveys, which polls 60,000 households every month about employment and unemployment. Of that polling, only 3% of people with disabilities said that they did not want to work or that they were not seeking employment. So that means the rest of them do want to work. They do want to be part of their community and contributing. So I encourage everyone to reach out if you would like to hire somebody with a disability. You're thinking, yeah, sure, resource. I'm down, I'll do it. But you don't know how to start. There are, I would start with DVR. DVR can help connect you to those those places. Or if you Google vocational businesses, companies in your area, they also help people with disabilities in employment. And like I said, there's the internship, which is a 90-day kind of trial run, and if the employee does a good job, you can pick them up from there, or you can hire them, and you can go from there. So, Caden, we have a few seconds, a few minutes left before we go into commercial, and I just want to say that I'm so proud of what you're doing.
Probably.
And I want
it's
you to
an
tell
amazing
listeners,
place to go for Christmas
what are you
decorations
going to college for?
And Christmas shopping.
So, everything is and before so I say that, I just want to give one more shout out to my older sister, Kelsey.
You know,
happy
and a lot of
birthday.
It handmade stuff.
Oh, yes.
Highly
happy
recommend.
Birthday, Miss Kelsey, out in California.
I have some culture that I bought like 15 years ago
and,
that are still
I'm going to
and
college to be a
that's awesome.
Paraeducator
and
teaching like the high school special ed classes. I'm currently a sophomore, like I said. And this is my very first year that I'm taking the core classes for it.
Yes, and you really want to help out those high schoolers once you get a little bit older. And why? Why do you want to be a paraeducator?
I want to be a paraeducator because I want to just show what it's like to be a good paraeducator. I think paraeducators are great. But I also want to be a good one too, and just so that the other
Diane
high schoolers will have a positive experience as
Diane,
well.
Yeah, and
Diane
you know what? You shared some really cool things with me about that position, and one being that
so
you know you walked
break,
in these students' shoes. You know what it feels like to have a disability, and you know perhaps not always be treated fairly or equally. And so I really admire your advocacy work behind that. So thank you so much, Caden, and thank you everyone for listening. We will see you next week.
Peace out.
How they took away
rock and roll and any other game. Working for a
put her in a boarding school.
Working for a living.
Away from a brother, sister,
working for a living. Coming out of work.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lots of sunshine this afternoon with a high of 54. Northwesterly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Lows level off around 38. Tonight, cloudy. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow, 53. Cloudy skies expected. Partly cloudy skies Monday with daytime highs approaching 52. 54 Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I'm your host, Liza Holmgren. October is National Disability Employment Awareness Month, and this theme is Advancing Access and Equity. If you would like to join me in the conversation about advancing access and equity to those with disabilities, please give me a call. I would love to learn from you, whether it's a success story you had, or if you have some ideas how to expand employment options for people with disabilities. Give me a call at 844-967-2789. I want to thank my co-pilot today, Caden Krupp. Caden was diagnosed with autism around 2 years old and has been employed part-time since he was 14 years old. So a lot of great self-advocates I was able to talk to today. Next week, I will be talking to Christy Yates, caregiver coach, psychologist, and author of Building a Legacy of Love, Thriving in the Sandwich Generation. The sandwich generation is a term used when you're caring for your own children, as well as caring for aging parents. It will be something that I will find myself in for your local races. The week of October 18th, I will be speaking with Brandy Grayson from Urban Triage about her organization and the caregiving differences in the African American population.
I was eventually appointed.
Finally, the last week, I will be speaking with Harriet Redmond. Harriet is part of an employer engagement group that I am part of under the Wisconsin Family and Caregiver Support Alliance. She and I and others from the group will be attending the SHRM conference in Wisconsin Dells on October 12th. The SHRM conference is one of the largest human resource conferences in the state. And Harriet will be hosting a 90-minute presentation on creating caregiver-friendly workplaces. Something that is absolutely going to have to come into the work arena as more and more people become family caregivers, and as the struggle to find support.
So these caregivers can go out to work. Wait, which five of my friends did not bother to vote?
Creating caregiver-friendly workplaces.
But yeah, we have. So this is in the city of Waukesha. We don't have any aldermanic races
about her experience in supporting people with disabilities in the workplace.
Any of these listeners are in Brookfield.
Celebration of it's National an interesting situation Disability there. They have seven Awareness districts Month.
In the city
if
of Brookfield.
You support and they have two what I'm trying to do over here, I ask you to please
so
follow me on
every
Instagram,
cycle,
Facebook,
one of those two
or
people
LinkedIn.
Is up for election. So you have
and
continuity
I just, we have a few
in every
minutes
district,
before
but that means there are
the end of the show. And I know
year.
I kind of
so,
had a cut. Wow.
Depending on where you
short.
Live in Brookfield,
are you still
that's
with
something
us?
You should consider either running yourself or finding out who is running your life. And,
hey, do
and
you mind if I ask
work.
You just
then,
a
course,
few more questions about your job?
And the Elmbrook mm-hmm. School Brook sure. School Board has two seats up.
Engage with and build a bigger base.
Well, not just, you know, listening to you, but listening, period. Because one of the things that sadly has fallen apart is this concept of the two candidates debating each other, or even just having a forum to where they can share their ideas about why they're running and what they'd like to see change or what they'd like to see, you know, stay the same. And we've gotten into this space where nobody wants to debate anymore.
Right.
And so you're not having that exchange of ideas. So I wish that that all of the candidates would take up the invitations by local groups to actually have robust debates. And, you know, we can find ways to do that in a respectful way. And like you say, even if there's an issue that you want to bring up, and have that discussion out in the public for the people to think, yeah, you know, I never really thought about it that way. That might be a good idea. And even if you lose, maybe that becomes an issue that the community wants to hear more about. And who knows, maybe even right. the person who does win says, well, geez, you know, that was a really important issue. Let me think more about that. Yeah. There's just all of that kind of public sphere discussion that right. doesn't go on anymore,
yep.
except one side screaming on the internet and then the other side screaming on the internet, but nobody actually talking
sure,
together.
Sure.
So, yeah, we've got some. And the local races are the places to start that, because these are your neighbors and your, you know, your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues,
yep.
the folks in the next aisle at the grocery store. We should be able to talk to each other about local issues.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and, you know, how should I say it? I got a text message in here. Something about me hosting debates. That sounds
there you
good.
Go.
Yeah,
there you go. We could do it right here at the studio.
One thing I saw that worked when I lived in Ireland was, how should we say it? Ranked voting, ranked elections, meaning that you rank the candidates. First place, second.
Oh, yeah. That is something that is, they're doing that in some cities in the United States.
And talk about a democratic process.
Yes.
It's like you have to get... You can't just get the most first place votes. You got to get a plurality, 50
right.
plus one, or
right.
it goes back into a bag and they do it again.
And for the listeners who don't know, what that means is that if there are, say, five people running for something, mm-hmm. you don't just pick one. You rank them on a scale of one to five. Who is your favorite? Mm-hmm. Who's your second favorite? Who's your third favorite?
And it's a more arduous process. But the end result is you have someone that most people can live with.
Exactly.
And they turn out
exactly.
to be a more effective legislator. And it also, I think it takes a lot of the money out of the politics.
And that's one of the things we still need to do.
And the marketing and all the nonsense. So,
perfect.
So, we've about a minute and a half left before the show ends. What else do you want people to know about voting?
For the spring elections in particular, I want people to remember that you've got two things on your ballot in the spring. We're going to have the nonpartisan local elections, depending on where you live, that could look very different. But on that same ballot is going to be the partisan primary for president. So when you're voting, especially if you're voting by mail and you want to make sure your ballot doesn't get kicked out, you have to really pay attention to checking only, you know, choosing only one of the candidates for president in one party.
Right.
And then the other stuff, you can choose whoever you want because that's all nonpartisan. The parties are not connected to those races.
Sounds great.
So, and if you're interested in running for office, a really good place to get going is WisconsinProgress.org.
Love it.
They do nonpartisan trainings, and they have a bunch of virtual trainings actually coming up in the next few weeks.
Sounds
so if you
great.
Go to WisconsinProgress.org, you can learn about running for office yourself.
Sounds great. All right. Kristen Hansen of the Fair Election Center, thanks for joining us. Tune in later today at 5:30 when the pregame starts for Carroll University at North Central.
Go Carroll.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember, safety is everyone's responsibility, and see ya!
The key slides into the ignition. The engine rumbles to life. My hand grips the throttle. New gear for my ride. The road, my invitation. The sound, the smell, the exhilaration. I am one with the bike. And the car in front of me suddenly turns in my lane. Motorcycles are everywhere, but too often go unnoticed. Please, always look twice, be alert, and share the road with motorcycles at all times. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.